I love a beautiful lawn. I hate doing lawn care. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, get one application free. Visit truegreen.com for the best lawn at the best price. Guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. I told you last time we are doing rock royalty from Detroit this week, and now it is Susie Quattro. You may know her as Leather Tuscadero from Happy Days, but she's truly a rock legend from Detroit. First female-fronted rock singer to play an instrument. Pretty amazing. Sold 55 million records. If you don't know Susie Quattro, you should check out Susie Quattro. Really fun episode. We go old school with her, talk about a lot of the old days and her new music as well. We do the show live every single Wednesday, every single Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. But we just want you to listen wherever you can. If you want to subscribe, sure, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. That's gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. Starting April 1st, that 14-day free trial goes down to 7. But you also still get 20% off, access to every episode we've ever done, commercial-free, HD, 5 days early, as well as access to a bunch of other shows. You don't have to do it. We just love that you're listening. That's all that matters. And here it is right now on Detroit Week for Rock and Roll Legends. It is Susie Quattro on the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show.
It is the SDR Show, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me for the first time in a little while at Stand Up New York. What is up, James? How are you, buddy?
What an absolute treat. Look, I don't have any bed to make this time. It's unbelievable. Good.
Thank God. Finally, you got out of your house. And Shannon back with us as always. Thank you, Shannon. And Ani Moosh is taking notes. And now it's, you know, first of all, it's Detroit week on the SDR Show because we just had Alice Cooper on just a couple days ago, and now we have another living legend on. Wow, I'll tell you this, Susie. It is Susie Quattro, first of all, and I knew a little bit about you. You know, I have, like, knowledge. I'm a rock and roll fan, but I did what I always do. I say this a million times, a deep dive into someone before they come on. When I look into the fact that you, you opened for Alice Cooper at one point, but you sold 55 million records. I just watched the Susie Q documentary, which I loved, and can't say enough good things about it. But when you see how many people you inspired, when you see you're the first woman, which I can't even believe this, that was on stage playing an instrument, fronting a band and writing songs in the history of rock and roll, that is just amazing. So thank you so much for joining us, Susie Quattro.
I'm happy to be here and thank you for the introduction. Somebody had to do it first.
Yeah, it's crazy, though. It's funny that when you hear about, like, very often on this show, we bring on people who were the first, like, we had this guitarist not that long ago. She was the first black female to be featured on the cover of Guitar Magazine, right?
Right.
And it was not, and unfortunately, it was like a few years ago. It's not even like it happened 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And you, it's not like it was in the 50s. You know, you were the first one, and it should have happened already, but it didn't. And you were just like, fuck this. I'm doing it this way.
Well, it had to happen how it happened, because I didn't know I was doing it. And that's why it happened so naturally. I wasn't trying to do anything. I wasn't trying to be a woman out there and show you what I was just doing what I do. I never called myself a female musician ever. I just said I was a musician.
Right.
Nobody told me to stand a certain way. Nobody told me to play a certain way. I just did what I did. And that's why it's still working now, 57 years later. So it took somebody like this, not manufactured, not trying to do anything, just being, being. And that's why it broke down the door. I broke down all the barriers, which is great. And I couldn't believe how many women thanked me. My documentary made me cry.
I'm sure. It's crazy. And it's also, there were things, a couple of things about, because I just saw the documentary that I kind of want to touch on a little bit, which I recommend to everybody. Go watch the Susie Q documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. You could watch it right now. Just great documentary. When you say not manufactured, you saw that happen when you started to get some success. They started to pretend that you were manufactured, even though you weren't, because they didn't want a woman who could write her own songs and do her own thing. So there had to be a man behind it.
So that's just too bad. I didn't even really hear it because it was so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. So it, you know, it went here and here. I didn't pay attention to it. I mean, I think it was Mickey Most. He was quoted as saying, "Nobody tells Susie to do anything you may suggest." Mm-hmm. So that's my character.
Fair enough.
And there's, you know, there's no way I would be like that. You know, I wouldn't still be here now.
And it's funny to see those original images of you and your sisters as the Pleasure Seekers, which is just a hilarious name for a group of pretty girls. But what, and then you use the term show band, which I'm not even, never heard that term before, but that I guess was a term for girls all dressed up pretty and no rock and roll elements to it at all. And then you went off to do your own thing. The sad, but very honest, which I could be wrong here, like at least comes across, is that your sisters never really recovered from you becoming who you became. And it's caused a rift in your family to this day. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And I think in any family where everybody's in the same business, basically, and one person goes off and makes it, you're going to get that kind of friction. It's unavoidable. But I have I allowed everybody their space to speak in my documentary. I said to my director, I don't care if it makes me uncomfortable. If it's what they want to say and it's true, it's in. And there were moments I wanted to crawl out of the cinema, you know, awkward moments. But I've since become fine with my little sister. We talked it all through. We're fine. The one older than me that really wanted it badly, I think will always have difficulties. But
I mean, it's been 50 fucking years. Get over it already, for God's sake.
Get it's over crazy. It already. And the good thing is I always carried around a lot of sympathy and guilt, you know, oh, poor Patty. And now I've kind of let that go. I have finally let it go.
I love her
dearly, but I don't feel bad anymore. It was not her path to take. It was my path.
Who was the one that in the video said, I will never be a fan of Susie Quattro? Was that her?
No, that's my little sister.
Okay, that's just weird. But then the things that I liked, and I don't want to spend too much time on the documentary, but I just saw it and really loved it. The fact that you still had the audio of, so just so you know, James and Shannon, what happened is that she moves to London, low point in her career because she's just trying to make it on her own, living in squalor, for lack of better terms. And her family sends her an audio tape to make her feel like, in theory, that the family's there with her for Thanksgiving. But instead, it's a tape of her family shitting on her about how she's a bad bass player. She's a sloppy bass player. Why they would choose to send that to you and you still have it after all these years. It's just batshit crazy.
I have it locked in my safe and I also have it locked in my heart.
I mean, how could you not?
It will never leave me. I remember getting that tape and being so excited that I have something from the family all along, putting it on and going, what? What?
I thought it was a joke at first. I thought they were like, you know, going to make a couple of shitty jokes and then laugh and say, oh, we're just kidding. No. We love you. But no.
But what it did do after the tears and the hurt, I stood up straight and tall and I kept walking.
Wow. Right. I mean, that just, it's, if anything, maybe that gave you the extra umph to stick it out longer.
I think it did. I think it did. I went right. That right. You watch.
So it was so sickening. I can't even.
It was harsh.
Go ahead, James. I'm sorry. James has that leaning forward question.
That is what I'm good at here. I just feel, man, like this is like female rock Corleone brothers. Like, I feel like your family's a bunch of Fredos. All due respect, you're a legend. I don't want to disrespect your family.
No,
I feel like you're Michael. I feel like you're just like, hey, I'll straighten things out for Pops. And then they're going to give you this shit. I'm furious. Give me the numbers. I'll text them.
I know. I love my family dearly. And it's just something that they had to come to terms with, you know. I say it all the time. Nobody stopped. By me doing what I was doing, which was following my natural path, I didn't stop anybody doing what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that. All I did was...
And also that producer or whoever it was that said, look, I want you and you alone. What are you going to do? You know, it's not your fault.
It's not fault in it. You have to know deep inside yourself who and what you are. And anybody who has had the career I've had, if they tell you any different, they're lying, because you know that at a very young age, that you've got that little extra spark that can take you all the way. And if you don't know that, you're not going to get there. This has to be inside you, in your heart and your soul. That's how it is.
You have to live and breathe it. It's funny because I do a lot of podcast like consulting work off air. And I always say, if you don't live and breathe your podcast, it's never going to be successful. No. And that's the same thing with anything that you're doing. Like James is a comic. If you don't live and breathe comedy, it's not going to happen. You know?
Exactly. And I have given my entire life to this profession.
Right. You know, it's been your whole life for sure.
I've never one time gone on a stage in 57 years and thought, oh, they're going to love me tonight. My thought process before I take that step over the footlights is, I hope they're going to like me tonight. And then I go out and I win them, because every audience is different. And I never want to go out there with any other attitude. I'm very, very professional about what I do.
Probably the only other career you could do right now, if needed, is open up a sunglass retail shop based on your background.
I have an ego room up in my house on the third floor. You'd love it. I send people in there and they're up there for 3 days. They don't come down. It's got everything. It's really a cool room. Really,
that's cool. It's all like accolades from your life. Is that what that is?
Everything. My whole life is in that room. When you walk in, the first thing you see is the big red book from the famous TV show. Very apt. It says, "This is your life." It is.
Right. I saw the clips from that on your thing.
Wild. it's just a great room, and it's the quietest room in the house. Well, the ego room.
If you spend a lot of time in there, that would be a problem, I would think.
I don't. I go in. And the important part is I come out and I shut the door.
You know what's funny? In the video, in the movie, you see all these people, Joan Jett, Chrissy Hynde, the Talking Heads, all these people that were inspired by you. One of the things that I want to ask, which is your first major hit was Can the Can, right? What the hell does that mean?
Well, it kind of like means if your guy is special, put him in the can to keep him safe. Can it? It's a crazy way to say it.
Can. Like close
the can. Yeah.
Put him in a safe spell. Okay.
Can it. Yeah. Keep him safe.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll take that. And then one of the things that I'm sure, you know, I would say you try not to live your life with too many regrets, but the fact that you almost had a chance to meet Elvis and denied the chance, and then he died soon after, that has to be a regret.
It is and it isn't. I belong to the school that everything happens for a reason. Firmly believe that. And when he called, I was 24 years old, just in America for my first tour with English band, had some hits, you know, so coming. And he called, I was in Nashville, and I was in Memphis, and the phone rang and it was his people. And all of a sudden he was on the phone. So, you know, I loved him since the age of 5 and a half, first light bulb moment. And, he said, I've just heard your version of All Shook Up, and I think it's the best since my own, and I'd like to invite you to Graceland.
Wow.
And I said, I'm very busy.
Yo.
That's youth, though. Don't you think that's a little bit of youth? That's got to be
great.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. But he has been on my shoulders since the age of 5 and a half, and so many epiphanies have happened with him. Mm-hmm. So many through the years. When I got the job on Happy Days, I auditioned. I flew over from Japan. They called me, come and audition. And I met the director. I read the script. I met the Fonz. I met everybody. And they said, go to your hotel. And we're going to talk about you and give you a call. So I went into the hotel room and I turned on the TV, waiting for the phone to ring. The phone rings. And they said, okay, we like you a lot. We'd like to offer you 3 seasons. I said, great, great. And right then the TV said, newsflash, the king is dead.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm making these short for you. 3 months later, I came back to film my first 2 episodes. And I was standing on the set and they brought this man over. And they said, Susie, here's the guy who's going to be making the costumes for your show. His name is Nudie. He was Elvis's personal tailor.
Oh, wow.
How does this happen?
Right.
And then finally, I wrote Singing with Angels. And if you don't know, you have to Google it. Very important song. I wrote that as a tribute to Elvis. And I recorded it in Nashville with James Burton, and the Jordanaires.
Cool.
My tribute to Elvis. So that's kind of like everything went like this with him. And it if I'd met him, I wouldn't have written that song. And that song actually had to be written.
I almost think it's cooler. That's something I would put on my bio. Like, I put all my accomplishments and then, like, was too busy for Elvis. Like, I would have liked to meet Elvis, but to tell that dude I had something else going on? Yeah, I mean, that's a flex, dude. Susie, that's a flex.
That takes balls.
Yeah, it really does.
Not wrong.
I know, so you touched on it. You know, you got the Happy Days show without auditioning. They wanted you. They saw you. I think Gary Marshall said that your picture was on his daughter's wall, and he's like, oh, that looks like the right girl for the show. First, where did you get the two taps to the gun shoot? Was that you, or did someone give you that? You know, the pal.
Yeah. Oh, we need, that's called in the business. They call it giving you a bit of business to do.
Okay.
And we're trying to find, I suggested that nobody wanted to know. But it was just something that, I mean, I played Annie Oakley, you know, and it was just felt right. We tried
They wanted you to do something. And that
something.
Was
something. Yeah. Just kind of, I was going, well, what would bang? Yeah. I just thought, you know, it was cool.
Fair enough. And also, I mean, obviously Leather Tuscadero, big part of my childhood, I would watch religiously. There's even a band called Tuscadero, which is hilarious. So they were inspired by you. I'm sure you're aware of that, but in that three seasons, I don't know how many episodes you were actually on, but you are this young, beautiful, I don't know if you were single at that time. I'm not sure. You weren't. Okay. My question would be, you know, did you sleep with the Fonz? But I guess not if you weren't single.
Oh, I did kiss him. He was supposed to give me a brotherly kiss. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you now, it was not brotherly.
Well, you've never seen me kiss my brother.
Yo, I would have rooted for Ralph Mouth.
Yeah.
Everyone goes for the Fonz, man. Give some love to Ralph Mouth, dude.
Yeah. As a fellow Ralph, I agree.
I had my favorite episode with him where I had to dress up and become a lady and all that. That was nice. It was really good. And I'm still in close contact with Ronnie. We email all the time, and Henry. So I've formed two long lasting friendships. They both give me quotes from my biography, my poetry book, my this, my that. So good people. And Henry, his actual comments at the end of the documentary, they're probably my favorite.
Yeah, they were great. They're really nice. I met him once at like the Chiller Convention in New Jersey. I met him for 2 seconds. You know, there was a lot of people and whatever.
Yeah.
But he always seemed like a genuinely nice person. But in a continued Susie Quattro Too Cool for the Room, not only do you blow off Elvis, but you blew off a spinoff opportunity from Happy Days. That's pretty cool. I like that. Yeah. It's real rock and roll.
I know. I didn't want to... I hate being boxed into anything. I say that in my documentary too. I like to spread my wings. I like to do whatever this great industry that I'm in allows me to do. I knew I could act. I knew I can dance. I knew I can sing. I knew I can write poetry. I want to do it all that I can do. So when I'd done 3 seasons worth of Leather Tuscadero, and then they wanted to make it a spinoff, I thought, well, then that's all I'm ever going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to be Leather Tuscadero. Plus I'm Susie Quattro. How much can you be, you know? So I went on to do a lot of different other shows. I did a lot of them. You won't know. I did quite a few British. Yeah. Did a ton of them. And then I did Annie Get Your Gun on the West End. And I wrote a musical and started it as Tallulah Bankhead. And I've done everything I've wanted to do so far. And nobody has boxed me. And I don't want to be boxed in.
What's great is when you said things like, you know, I knew I could sing. I knew I could act. I knew I could dance. I know I can't do any of those things.
Yeah, but that's good. At least you know it.
Right. I'm very, very well aware of the fact that I cannot do any of those things.
So you are consistently bad at everything, right?
Every one of those things, as Shannon can attest to, because she has to deal with me every week. So yes, I'm terrible at all those things. All right, before we go any further, one of our longtime sponsors now, it is Hempire, hempiredirect.com. I feel I should let you know the Hempire himself just went out for a second. All these years of drinking blood, he went to get an AIDS test and a COVID test, but he should be back probably next week. We love Hempire Direct. They can now sell you Delta 8 flour. The reason why you're going to love it is Delta 8 is THC. THC flour can be sent to you in 42 out of the 50 states. HempireDirect.com is priced to keep you high. And if you use the code GASFLOUR, that's GAS flour, it is 50% off, not 15, 50, 50% off. They're all new Delta 8 flour. That means literally half off. So you can pick up an entire ounce of flower that'll get you really high for just $75. You can't beat that. If you're not sure you're going to love this as much as the weed you've normally been buying, well, with the promo code GASFLOWER, you could try an eighth for just $15. $15 using the code GASFLOWER. It's time to stock up and throw yourself a Delta 8 flower party. Delta 8 TSE, once again, in 42 out of the 50 states. And if you use the promo code GASFLOWER, you could either try an eighth for just $15 or 50% off of their high-quality Delta 8 bud. And if you're driving or you don't have a way to write this down or to remember it, don't worry. The link is in the description. All right, let's get back to it. Hemp Buyer, where are you, buddy? Come out.
No, no, man. I was going to give you a compliment, but you're good at podcasting and kissing your brother. The two most important things. I'm a callback machine, Susie Cotterill. I'm a callback machine.
Yeah. And then, by the way, also, when again, I don't mean to harp on it so much. I also want to talk about the new album and stuff. But so.
Hang on.
Oh, there it goes.
There it is.
That's a good promotion.
The Devil in Me.
The Devil in Me and the new single, The Devil in Me. Your first time recording in London, if I'm not mistaken, was with fucking Jeff Beck and Cozy Powell.
This was actually in Detroit. This is unbelievable. Mickey saw the band. Mickey Mo saw the band I was in. He didn't like the band. And it was the second time in 1 week that a record company had seen the band and offered me a solo contract. Mickey only mm-hmm. wanted me. And he said to me, would you like to come down? After he'd seen the band, he kind of took me to the back of the theater. We were talking. And he said, would you like to come to Motown Studios with me? I said, sure. So I went along with him and Jeff Beck and Cozy Powell. And we were down in the pit. And we were playing in the pit with Jeff Beck and Cozy Powell jamming. Woo! I kind of went, whoa, what planet did I land
on? How old were you at that point?
20.
Wow, that is just crazy.
Just how wonderful.
How old were you on Happy Days?
I was 27. I look like six.
You looked like a child. That's crazy.
I know. I always have looked minimum 10 years younger than what I am. It's lucky, actually. I'm 70 now. I don't look 70.
I'm the exact opposite, by the way. I look 10 years older since I can remember. Everyone thinks I'm way older than I am.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
Ooh, I love this game.
There's no wrong answers.
Yo, 40? She's looking at you like Larry David right now. That's hilarious to figure out your age.
40?
40. 40 is a good guess.
What is it?
Let me ask you this, though. Did you say 40 to be nice, or is that a real answer?
That's a real answer.
All right. I'm 51, so thank you.
Oh, you look good.
How old does James look?
I just had a birthday 2 weeks ago, Susie.
Get closer to the camera. Get closer.
Like I'm starting a revolution. Right now,
I'm going to say 43.
Oh, I love this so much.
Susie, on the nose. No one ever gets my age. God, I guess I'm aging, man.
All right, now
I usually get way younger.
We got to get everyone involved.
Susie.
We got to get everyone involved. How old is Shannon?
Okay, I got to have a look.
Well, she's the age whisperer.
Who are we going for now?
Shannon. Talk, Shannon.
See me. Hi.
Oh, Shannon.
I can't see her good enough.
Talk, Shannon, so it gets on your camera.
But she looks quite young. She looks quite young.
Good, I like
I'd say, oh, no, you're young. You're no older than 25.
Oh, my God. Now my 40 gets out the window. She's, yeah, she's 57.
She's not.
No, she's not. No, she's something
if she is, I'm in the wrong job, I tell you.
What are you, Shannon? Are you 37 now?
38.
Okay, that's good. That's a good age.
I'm the only one who looks my age. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's good. I'll take it. So, again, just because all these things are kind of new, when I was going through your musical catalog and everything else, a song that I forgot about, but when I heard it, I'm like, oh, my God, I fucking love that song. And honestly played it, I'm going to say 30 times this week, is your duet. That was the biggest one in this country, Stumbling In.
Good song.
Great song. And yeah. You look like in the video that you two have so much chemistry. But again, you were married at the time as well, right?
Yes, it's called acting.
It was very good acting. Even my brother, I sent it to my brother today. He's like, ask how long they were dating. I'm like, no, I think she was married at that point.
No, I wasn't. I was with my guitar player since 1972.
Right.
You know, with he's his son's father who I wrote the album with. No. Right. And it was the chemistry of the song. And I did turn it on.
It was great. It's such a great song. I mean, it's such a so indicative of the 70s, but not very indicative of your sound at the time. That was much more for America. And one thing that I see that was really wild is Australia fucking embraced you from day one, but US, for whatever reason,
they took a long time. They did take a while. It was Stumbling In was like a million seller, and then that was right in the middle of my Happy Days stunt. As soon as I was on Happy Days, they accepted what I did.
Right.
Because I was doing it on a nationwide television show. So it was okay for this girl with this haircut to be playing bass guitar and wearing jumpsuits. That was okay.
I love the leather jumpsuit, that famous photo of yours. It's just such a great look. And really, it's funny because you touch on this on the show as well. And so did Joan Jett mentions it. I thought for the first few years of like, not while it was happening because I was too young, but when I reflected on Happy Days, if someone asked me who was Leather Tuscadero, I would always say, oh, it was Joan Jett.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
It wasn't Joan Jett, and it was you. And I found that out, of course, I mean, many, many years ago. But
yeah.
I don't know
how anybody could even get that wrong. I mean, she wasn't even around in those years.
I know.
Years.
Well, what do I know at the time? But I just, she also looked so much like you. I mean, she looked so much like you.
Yeah, she wanted to.
Understandable. she really was like.
She wanted to. Yeah. It was, it was Lita says that in the thing. She said we had to dye her hair and everything and tell her. Oh, bless her. She was very nice in the documentary. She just sent me a big gold record with my name on it, one of hers, for thank you, which is very nice.
That's great. And then obviously you've written books, you've been in a bunch of TV shows, you've been in plays and whatnot, but then not on this record, but I believe it was your last record was the first time you collaborated with your son from your first marriage.
Correct. That was No Control, and that went a storm everywhere, and we didn't know what we were doing. We just wanted to work together, and it turned into an album, so we didn't have a blueprint. But this one, we had a blueprint. See how professional I am? I got the picture.
I like it.
Me too. This one, we had a benchmark. We had to beat No Control. And he wanted to make it as important as my first album. And we had a through line. We had a vibe going. And people are going bananas for this
album. It's great. The Devil in Me, the full album is out now. It's available anywhere you want to look for it. Was it weird? Because if you think about it, first half of your life, really, you're in a band with your husband. Now you're in a band with your son. And you were in a band with your sisters before then. It seems like always somebody related to you was in a band with you.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how that happened, but it's so because of all that history, it's not strange for me.
Right.
When I'm working with family members, the relationship doesn't come into it at all.
I mean, is it hard for your son to say, Mom, you got to do that bass line over again or whatever? Does that?
Well, he did a couple things that annoyed me, but all for the right reason. All for the right reason. All for the right reason. You know, like I said, he gathered his confidence after No Control.
Okay.
So then he kind of, you know, I can do this now, you know, but he's, I keep saying it. I gave birth to Richard, but he's in his own way given rebirth to me because
says, Mom,
I am
you need to do that over. And you go to your room.
Yeah, really, you're grounded. I'm seeing myself through his eyes now, which is really quite exciting.
That's pretty wild. And now two albums together. That's just an amazing thing.
It's amazing.
So now what's funny is that you were married for so long to your guitarist, but now you have a new husband for a few years. And I saw on a video that you said, I don't know if this is still true, that it works so well because you live in separate countries.
Correctamundo.
That's pretty wild.
Well, he lives in Hamburg. I live here. And it's always worked for 27 years. And it worked great right up until COVID struck.
And that's
hard. So last year, we had 5 months apart altogether. And this year, 2 months so far. And we travel when we can. He just was here. 4 different COVID tests. You know, I had COVID in November. I'm fine. I got my shot. And I get my next shot at the end of April. We're waiting for the gigs to start. Everything is doing what it should do. It is what it is. And we see each other just enough. We do Skype all the time, you know. But like I said before, we had the choice. I'll come there. Okay, I'll come there. And it worked. And not now. And his whole life is in Hamburg. And my whole life is here. So we can't just go back and forth. You know, I got my studio there. Make my albums here. My kids are around the corner. So it's hard right now. That part's hard.
Was there a thought, because the album, I mean, just came out not that long ago, to hold the album until the world opened up? Or did you just want to get it out?
No. everything happens as it should. I felt inspired. My son felt inspired. We weren't on the road. We couldn't be on the road. There was no gig. So let's write the next album. And I, for one, as an artist, have found this atmosphere of what we're going through absolutely creative.
Right. You know, it's funny. I can't seem to stop writing. To bring your fellow Detroiter, is that what we said? Detroiter, Alice Cooper, who said he believes that within the next 6 months, there's going to be so much new music coming out because it was inspired. Every rock star, everyone has been so inspired to write music and actually have time to sit home and work on their craft because they don't have to like, oh, I got to go tour. Oh, I got to go do
this.
You got to be home and you're going to work on your music.
It's been fantastic. I've so enjoyed it. So enjoyed it that I'm writing for the next album now as we speak.
That's great. That's great. I want to ask you because we just had him on and you are also a fellow Detroiter. Do you have any Alice Cooper stories that you want to share with us?
Sure. When I was on the Welcome to My Nightmare tour, we had done 30 shows of our own in the USA and Canada. Then we joined the tour. We did a further 80 shows. We were on the road for 9 months that year. Anyway, things got a little crazy and we decided to have a rubber dart gun fight at a hotel.
All right. So,
like you do. And mattresses came off the beds into the corridors. It got really, really serious. Alice made a big mistake and hid behind a television set. And then he peeked out and he's got rather a large nose. And I went, boom. And I gave him a black eye.
Oh, shit. Really? That's great.
And it was, he said, the first thought he had was, ouch. And then he thought, good shot. And that night at the gig, he wore my T-shirt on his show out of respect.
Oh, that's a great story. That's a great story. You know, I interviewed Alice probably 10 times over the years and just one of the fucking coolest guys.
He's lovely. And we've known each other forever. We're good buddies. There's a genuine love between us. I'm sure you heard that in his voice, too.
Yes,
you know,
for sure. And then in the documentary also, there was a couple of videos that looked later in life where you had your sister singing back up. Do you bring them out once in a while or not anymore at all?
I did do a TV show where they said to me, you have half an hour on Prime TV, do whatever you want. So I said, I'd love to get the girls over and put the Pleasure Seekers back together. Mm-hmm. So we did that. And then I brought them to Berlin to do two shows there and sing back up for me. Yeah. And it was nice. It was nice to be able to do that. That was a good memories.
Right. I mean, I can't stress it enough. Everyone should watch the documentary because if you have a brother or a sister and you have issues with them, it's just, you know, it's great to always see how some things are just fucking universal. We all get that way with our siblings or whatever. It's really, and you could see the genuine love, but there's also some jealousy and animosity or whatever you want.
And it's okay. I love them all dearly and it's okay. And like I said, I had scissors for the documentary, but I insisted that as it was, whatever they said, whatever they felt, it stayed in.
Right. That's great. I think it was great. And that was also, you know, I didn't realize how many fucking hit singles you had. It's crazy. Just like one after the other.
Gotcha.
And it's got to be, it's just, I don't even know how many it is, but 55 million records. That's an incredible feat.
I know. And I don't even want to think about how many gigs I've done in 57 years. Sometimes I find myself sitting in a van and I think, here I am. You know, I would have been 69 then the last time, 69. I'm sitting in a van, stopping at a gas station to get an ice cream. The equipment's in the back. What? Where did my life go?
It's truly crazy. It's really insane.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
So now, did your son play with other bands beforehand? Like, how did the actual, I know he was pushing you for years, but like, where did he get his chops, so to speak?
He did a few things, and before he found himself, he secretly always wanted to play guitar. And we gave him a guitar when he was very young, but he didn't really come to a little bit older. And then once he picked that up, he joined a band and he was playing guitar. And then he really developed, but the band didn't get signed. And he was in it for quite a while. It was a good band. Mm-hmm. And I told him he had to do another job. And this was psychologically what pushed him. So he did a job he didn't want to do. And that's when he went, I'm going to do my music. And he really blossomed then.
It's kind of like the equivalent of when your sister sent you the shitty audio tape to push you. You pushed your son.
I did push him. And he says it's just all blossomed now. And it was wonderful to see that. I didn't know we had all that. And it's a discovery every day. It's great.
James, again, you leaned forward. I feel like you have something.
Yeah, I just wish someone would have done that with me. I would have learned my scales. You know, I just learned pentatonic like 3 days ago at 43. I mean, I should have learned that shit at 15, man. I needed someone like you in my life, or your sister, Susie.
Yeah, I can play and read and write classical piano and percussion.
Yeah, that was wild to see. Who knew that you could play drums and piano and bass? Do you play guitar as well or no?
I play guitar badly, and when I want to write a very simple, edgy rock number, I'll pick up the guitar. I'm not a failed guitar player. I'm a bass player, and there is a difference.
By failed, Ralph, means she will play circles around any of us. Anyone who does that, it's like those dudes who say they can't fight. Those dudes whoop ass. Every time. And guys are like, I can hold my own. Those dudes will give you three black eyes. Like, Susie plays circles around us.
I tell you what, when you get given at the age of 14 as your first bass guitar, a 1957 Fender Precision.
Beautiful.
You're going to be a good bass player.
And you pointed at one point, you said, gave me this bass. Is it still the same? You have that bass still?
Yeah, I still have it.
That's beautiful. Great. Beautiful. And that's why you got into using basses that were too big for you, because you didn't know basses came in sizes.
But I didn't know any. And I just said to my dad, we're starting a band. Do you have a bass? He said, sure, you can use this. I didn't know there was a choice. So I got used to playing this big bass. You know, I thought, okay, here's what I have to learn. And I can't stand little basses. Oh, it's not what I learned on.
Everyone, at least three or four times the documentary is brought up that you are so tiny. How tall are you?
5'2", but I got a big mouth.
All right, so we're going to do the first, because I know we don't have a lot of time with you. So we'll do the first and we'll wrap this up.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show, as you know, is the SDR Show, the Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask everybody this since the dawn of time. I'm not going to put pressure on you, but Alice's first were pretty fucking amazing. I don't know if you're going to beat them, but we start with the first concert you ever went to, and we mean one you went on your own volition. You started playing so young, I'm not sure what the answer is going to be, but the first concert you went to that we're going to know the band.
Oh, God, I don't know if you'd know the band. Well, it was the Beatles.
Oh, that's great. I've heard of the Beatles.
Yeah. The first time they came to Detroit, a friend of mine's father gave us tickets, but I didn't like it because all you heard was screamings. But that was my first ever concert I went to.
Wow. I mean, that's a great one. What year was that? It's got to be early.
1964.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. That's a good first one, I got to say.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the first drug you ever did after pot, unless pot's the worst drug you ever did.
It's pot.
It's the worst drug you ever did.
Yeah, and I did it at 14. I went to see a psychedelic band called the Blues Magoos. Stupid. Ended up in the bass player's room. Nothing happened. I was only a little girl. He took care of me, but I ended up in his room. We started talking and talking and talking. And he said to me, have you ever smoked marijuana? And I said, sure. Never smoked it in my life. Sure. So he gave me one and I went, oh, it's nothing. Done nothing. I had three joints. And all of a sudden it went, bang! I went, and then he played me Bob Dylan, Blonde on Blonde, Memphis Blues. So I was gone. I couldn't come down for 3 days. So that was it for me with drugs. Wow. Don't like them. They don't suit me. You want to get as high as I get on a puff, believe me.
All right. So that's the one and only time at 14 years old, and never again.
Well, I might have smoked it again a few other times, but I'm not really a drug person at all. Just not me.
Good enough.
It makes me speed. It makes me speed.
Right.
I went to a pot party with some friends of mine, and I had that night too. I had another, and I was going around. Everybody was laid back. You know how pot makes you like that. I was going, and I heard somebody say, "Don't bring her next time."
Wow.
That's great. And then the first time you had sex?
I was young. I was 14.
14, same year.
Yeah, I was 14. I had my first serious boyfriend. We were together for about 3 or 4 years. He wanted to marry me. It was a real serious love affair. We're still in touch now.
Oh,
we
wow.
were absolutely, yeah. We really were going to get married. That was the plan, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was my first time. Yeah.
And so I obviously you stayed together for a while. It wasn't like it was a one-time thing. No.
It was my first and he was my first boyfriend. So it's quite a beautiful memory. Actually.
That's nice. And it's great that you still speak with him. I actually still am friends with the first girl I ever had sex with. James, what about you?
Oh man. I don't even think she knew she took my virginity, this girl. I tried really hard to fake it like I was a pro. I watched a lot of Peter North that I was sneaking, you know? And so I think it's good.
Oh, yeah.
If she found out now, I'd be outed, bro.
And what about you, Shannon?
I wouldn't say like...
Your mic's off.
It shouldn't be.
No, it's back on now.
Okay. We like wish each other happy birthdays and like holidays and stuff. We're not like friends.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty nice though. Yeah, I still speak to the one. She actually, I'm not going to say her name, but years later, it was like 25 years later, she tried to sleep with me again. I think that was pretty cool.
That's a victory, bro. That's a victory.
Wonder what new tricks I learned 25 years later. Who knows? All right, so the new album is called The Devil in Me. Are there tour dates on the table?
There are. My book is full. Whether they happen or not, I don't know. We have to wait and see. That's the $1,000 question. But everybody's going bananas about the album. I've never, ever read reviews like this in my life, ever. I'm so pleased.
It's amazing.
It really is. Thank you very much.
It's a good year for Detroit rock. It's also, you know, Alice's record just went to number one. So it's, for fellow Detroiters, as I learned that new word, it's a good time for rock and roll.
Absolutely.
We're going to run around the room quickly and do plugs. So anything else you want to plug or push, Susie?
No, just the devil in me. And yours, you can see my eyes. I've always got the devil in me.
All right, James, your plugs?
The James Madden on the Instagrams. Check that out, The James Madden. The Commissioner Comedy Podcast. Some hot episodes just came out. We talked about canceling. We talked about bullies. It's the best. You'll run through walls, brother. Listen to this pod. And also, my new album is coming out this spring. It is called The Check Spot. It's me doing a question and answer with a very drunk crowd while they're paying their bills. The worst part of the comedy show. I'm putting out an album of the worst part of the show because I'm a fucking G. Yeah.
Fair enough. And then Shannon?
Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
Susie, quick question. Have you gotten into fights when you were growing up? I mean, you were like this tough chick. Was fighting ever a big thing in your life?
I'm more mouth.
Right. But sometimes, the old line, your mouth's writing checks, your body can't cash.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
down a little bit back in the day?
I'm not really a hitter. My mouth can kill at 10 paces. Okay. Believe me.
All right. Fair enough. And then lastly, Ani, your plugs.
I'm also 5'2" and have a loud mouth. So
yes, you, thank goodness. But don't mess with me.
I think Shannon's 5'2" also, right? Shannon, how tall are you?
I'm 5'1".
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Ahead, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Ani_Mouche and check out my website at AniMouchMedia.com.
You know, Susie, I am 6'5", so that's why I dominate here. You're all tiny compared to me. Little kids.
I'm 4'11". 4'11", but 43, dog.
The new album is The Devil and Me. At the end of the show every week, we add a song to our SDR show playlist. We will add the title track. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. Very rare that we get to say thank you to a legend.
Thank you so much,
Susie, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
I made mistakes. I've been Listening to the SDR Show.